Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Timothy. We are almost done with 2 Timothy. There's only four chapters, and we're going to do the first part of the one today. I haven't decided if we're going to finish up the other half next week or do a little Old Testament. But we are, the full lesson is chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. But I'm just going to read those first five verses of chapter 4 from the NASB. I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Sounds like you're doing the work of the evangelism, right? Even though we're not all pastors, we all have the opportunity to do the work of an evangelist. That's a little bit what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Even though Timothy has that job, he's encouraging him that all need to continue the work of God. So I told Mom yesterday, I called her and said, I'm all finished up with the message for tomorrow. I've got things to do. I've got my schedule all a little off kilter, being up at St. Luke's quite a bit this week. But I had to work on this yesterday and told Mom, I said, I'm going to talk about turtles at church tomorrow. And she just got a big laugh out of the fact that we're going to talk about turtles this morning, because that's what we are talking about. We're going to talk about some turtles. John and I went out and had some coffee yesterday morning because it is so beautiful outside. You want to spend as much time out there right now as you can, so we're having our coffee out on the dock of our little lake. And we looked over at, there's a, on the west side of the lake, there's a log out there, and our little slider turtles all gather up there. And usually there's 20 to 30 turtles rode up on there in the later part of the morning when the sun is shining on them. And it's so fun to watch them. They're, you can tell who's been there a while and who just got to the party, because there's some of them, their shells are dull, and some of them, they're all shiny from just getting out of the water, and they get their heads up there, and they just love the sun. And so when we looked over there, John said, I wonder where all our turtles are today. There's only two. One big one and one little one. And so we start counting noses, literally out in the pond, and we go, well, there's less than 10 around in the pond. And so I had to Google. I had to pull out my phone and say, where's all the turtles? It's mid-October. And guess where they've gone? They've gone where they go for the winter. You know where the turtles go for the winter? They go to the bottom of the pond and they bury themselves down in the mud. And so this summer, we have kind of gotten to try and be friends with our little turtles, because we love our turtles. And we want them to trust us and to not hide every time they see us. Because, you know, I think I've told you before how a slider turtle got their name. Because wherever you see a slider, they're usually sunning. And as soon as somebody walks up and they see you, they all slide off into the water and hide from you. So that's literally how they got their name, because they slide away and don't let you see them. And so we don't want them always jumping off in the water. You walk out the door, since there's 20 or 30 of them on a log, it's a pretty big splash when they all hit the water. And we feel kind of guilty because they have to work so hard to get back up on the log. And some of those little guys, it takes them a while to get there. So it's kind of mean, you know, to have them run away every time you get out there. So we've been trying to train our turtles to like us. And what we had done is we started going over to Mom's garden and getting the tomatoes that are a little past human consumption and taking a bag of tomatoes. Now we discovered the turtles love tomatoes. We threw one out there earlier in the summer, and it was great. I found out that they'll swim up there and discover what they've got, and they'll realize that they can't eat it, and so they'll go back quite a ways, and they'll swim as fast as they can across the pond and smack it until they break the skin. And then once they break the skin, everybody kind of gets a flavor of the water, and then all of a sudden you got this whole swarm of turtles. And so the first time we threw one in there, we kept seeing this tomato, this bright red tomato in the middle of the green pond, bobbing way up in the air over and over and over while the turtles was all out there. They looked like they were playing volleyball with the tomato out there. And so we decided that some of the most entertaining things we could do was to feed tomatoes to the turtles. and get them to where they would trust us. And we have a whole different crew. We have some of the typical green ones, and then we've got some that are almost pink. They're kind of a reddish color on their shell. Really interesting and also really funny. And so as we were pondering the turtles and I realized that they were starting to go to the bottom for the winter, I started thinking about the scripture that I was going to be reading today and how Timothy and our turtles kind of are similar. So I'll educate you just a little bit more on turtles, just for the fun of it. We tend to call all of those little reptiles that walk around us turtles, but they're not all turtles. I brought one. I brought actually four, but I'm only going to play with one here in front of you. If they have the flat shell, they're a turtle. Our little flat shell guys tend to live in the water. They're more aerodynamic, and so these are turtles. But the ones with the dome shells that walk around are not turtles. They're tortoises. Oh, you've got yours too. All right, buddy. He gave me these, actually. So these were a birthday gift to me from Peter last year, or Mother's Day. I'm not sure. But so, yeah, this one is a turtle, but our dome guys are tortoises, and they all belong to a family called testudines. You know, like a coyote and a dog are both canines. So testudines are our shelled friends, and the different types of them are the turtle and the tortoise. So a turtle lives about 40 years. A tortoise, how long do you think a tortoise lives? The oldest one that they recorded was 189 when it passed. It was an old, old tortoise. And so as I considered what a turtle's like, what a tortoise is like, and how quiet they are, and how present they are, and how simple they are, but how they have endured, I was thinking about our scripture and the word persistence. And I love listening just to what I heard earlier of the testimony that is persistence, and we'll go a little further into that. So to persist is to go on resolutely and stubbornly in spite of opposition. And wouldn't you say that we've heard about persistence this morning already? So over 200 million years ago, dinosaurs walked on the earth, and beside them, very slowly, walked the testudines. Our persistent little friends had a hard shell on their back even 200 million years ago. And I discovered, Peter, that our little turtles must be prehistoric turtles because they don't have a shell on their belly. And that is something that evolved after the time of the dinosaurs. And I was like, huh, I guess all of our little toy ones are prehistoric because they don't have the plastone that formed on their bellies. So the older turtles back from 200 million years ago had the hard shell on their back and they had teeth. But they discovered the teeth were actually not their best defense. Their best defense was that shell on their back. It kept them alive when the dinosaurs were around, but it also, with their burrowing skills, allowed them to live through the things that killed off the dinosaurs. While the dinosaurs were perishing, the testudines survived. Over time, their teeth went away and they developed a beak. And then over time, they got their plastron, the part on their belly that covered the bottom of their body. So they have a full body of armor. So our tiny dinosaur that swims around in the pond takes cover from the cold using their full body of armor and the way that they were designed. They are persistent. They are quiet. And they are tough. So when I think about the little turtles, I think they sort of embody faith at its best. Faith is not fast. It is not always exciting. In this generation of our churches, we are being told that faith is rather unpopular, maybe out of style, out of touch, or not interesting. We are encouraged to chase after trends and to do things that are popular in order to reach people in new ways. Sometimes we're even encouraged to dilute the message of our scripture to fit the narrative of our society. But that is not persistence. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul tells Timothy that there will be difficult times ahead, and he tells him what difficult times are going to look like and how to be persistent in those times. Verses 2 through 4, Paul lists some attributes to Timothy that are 18 things that he will recognize in society when you can tell that society is not leaning on God. And so here are these 18 things. See if they sound familiar to you or if you know what they are. See, I would love to have thought that if this thing that happened back in Timothy's time was not relevant now, we wouldn't know what this meant anymore. Right? We'd be having to look it up. But here's these 18 things. It's a long list. People will love themselves, love money, be boastful, be arrogant. They will slander. They will disobey their parents, be ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. They will maliciously gossip, have no self-control, be brutal. They will hate goodness. They'll be treacherous, reckless, conceited, and love pleasure more than God. Were there any of those things that we didn't understand on there? Sadly, we understand them all, right? So all the things that was going on in Timothy's time was going on then is still going on now. Now, the very next sentence, after he names off these 18 things, he says, and yet these people who embody these things will hold fast to a form of godliness while denying its power. And what that means is they're going to look religious and say that they are faithful while actually not having faith in the power of God. So they'll say it, talk the talk, but not walk the walk. Rough attributes, aren't those? In Timothy's world, things were very similar, I think, to what they are now. And Paul knew that he would be pressured to bend, that he would be pressured to see what was going on around him and sort of change himself or change the word to fit into the people and the trends. In fact, he called it tickling their ears. So giving into what people want to hear instead of what is truth. And so Paul said to Timothy, very simply, don't give in. Don't let these things influence you. Hold on to the scripture that you've held in your hand. The scripture of God is the armor that we wrap ourselves in to protect ourselves from the changing seasons of the world. And he says, hold on to that, know that. In fact, he said, you were raised understanding the scripture. You were raised with it in your hands. You've known this since you were a child. You've been brought up in the word. Don't let the new ideas of the world change the truth of the scripture in your heart. This is what Paul was referring to when he said in verse 2, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Just like trends come and go, so does the pendulum of our faith swing in and out. Sometimes faith is in style and sometimes it is not. And so in season, everyone draws close to God, and out of season, humanity tends to pull away. If we read our biblical history, we realize that over and over in the Bible, eventually humanity gets on their knees and draws back to God. Like the dinosaurs, the people who are not equipped to stand will fall in these times. But those who have remained steady and kept their faith will be persistent in it. And these people will not only survive, but they will evolve into something that lasts longer. So when we look around our community or our world, we might think to ourselves, what is going to become of the Christ-loving followers? Well, I invite you, when you have those concerns, to remember the definition of persistence. I hope. See, I thought it was very entertaining to read the definition of persistence, because persistence is to go on resolutely or stubbornly. Anybody stubborn? Oh, those of us that are shaking our head no are definitely doing so sarcastically. No, I am not stubborn. Well, good. It is good to be stubborn about your faith. To not let somebody else tell you that it's not cool enough. To not let other people or other influences tell us to change it. Because we need to be stubborn to be stuck. You know, when my kids get married, I always told them that marriage is half love and half stubbornness. Because you're not going to give up on the person that you're committing to. Faith is that way too. You love God, but you're also so stubborn, you're not going to let anybody talk you out of it. Be stubborn in that. But it says also, keep your quiet resolve to love God. And I love that it says in here, to teach with patience, because that has not been one of my strong suits always, is to be patient. To teach with patience, to talk and to teach about God patiently. and stand in spite of opposition, or this new word for me this week, importunity. Y'all know what importunity means, right? Everybody knows what it means. Joanne knows what it means. And John knows what it means. Importunity, that is the definition, part of the definition of persistence is to go ahead and stand even when people are being importunate. I guess that's how you would say it singularly. So what that means is, have you ever had anybody come up and demand something of you and just pester you about it? Tell you they want something in a really annoying way? She's looking at the kiddo down there. Like I was going to say, it's like a kid come up and saying, I need a drink. Hey, drink. I want a drink. Lolly, give me a drink. You'd be kind of pestering, right? Kind of irritating. So people who want to pull us away from our faith will be importunate like that. They will come up and they will pester you. They will oppose you at every turn and tell you that you're wrong just to pull you away. And so we stand in spite of opposition, in spite of warning that we're not cool, and in spite of people just doggone pestering us and irritating us about our faith. Being persistent in faith isn't concerned about chasing new and popular things. It's about holding steady, like a turtle, trusting that our design that God has given us will stick to us even when the seasons change and the world seems dark. So Paul, near the end of his life, was serving in churches that were young and struggling. They were arguing, there were false teachings, there were so many distractions. And in chapter 2, he even said, don't even bother to argue with people. There was different words to say it, but he was saying, don't even bother to argue with people because you're going to just make both of you suffer. Just stick to your faith and let that be your truth. Don't let the noise of the moment drown out the truth of God's word. Be ready, in season and out, when God's cool and when he's not. Persistent faith doesn't just survive the difficult moment. It endures across generations. So what does that mean for us here today and now? See, I knew what I wanted to celebrate today in church, but I didn't know for sure how I was going to approach it until we were sitting there watching the turtles and thinking about how they had lasted since the dinosaur times, and they were just quietly, slowly moving and not going away. Because for us in this season of churches, not just Virginia Church, not just the Methodist Church, but in this season of faith and churches, it's easy for us to get stuck in the counting noses and then going, gosh, I remember when there were more. Gosh, I remember when there were different people. Gosh, I remember when. It's so easy for us to get stuck in the numbers. But what we're called to do is to just keep pace. Slow, steady, covered in the armor of the gospel, and to see who God needs us to reach and how we can reach them today. It's not always going to lead to a big number right now, but one day, if we put our trust in God, the fruit will come. We just had our first gaming, I think it was our first gaming of the school year, and we had 8 young men, well, and women, there was a couple girls there, show up at Ohio Street. And what they do, there's a bug in my hair. What they do is they show up and they just play video games. We don't do anything. They just come, they hang out. It's a safe space for the youth in town to be and be in a good place. And so they come in, and most of them don't go to church anywhere. And we had this one young man who playing games for a while, and he says, you know what? I'm going to have to go. And we said, okay. And he said, you know why I have to go? I said, no. Well, I got to go hang out with a bunch of screaming kids. And I went, okay. He says, well, my dad told me that if I was going to go to a church and play video games in their church, that I had to also go somewhere and have a lesson in a church. And so I have to leave here and go to this youth group over here and have a lesson tonight too. And so the encouragement for me was, this young man may not be in church in Ohio Street on Sunday, but this boy who didn't go to church anywhere got to be friends with kids who are playing video games in a church, and now because of that he's going to another church, to a youth group, and he has a faith family. It's not about growing a denomination. It's about giving people a safe space, meeting them where they are, and then letting their lives become something that is connected to God. He is somewhere in church. And for that, we can celebrate. We're not going to get everyone in our pew, but I sure am glad if they fall into a chair somewhere where they can learn. That is the celebration. That's what I want to celebrate today. That's what we're going to celebrate even a little bit next week, is how we just keep going in this season of the church, in this season of faith, that as long as we keep seeking ways to reach people, to just plant that seed may grow somewhere else. As long as it grows, we're happy. Would you agree with that? Would you amen that or something? Okay. Because this young man is now going to church, and I'm so excited. So like my turtles that I really hope come back to our log next spring, week after week, we return. We come here. We pray. We sit in community with one another. We do so whether it's popular or not popular, whether the church is full or whether it's half full. We are here having old-fashioned church. We can celebrate that we are still here. That also is an amen place, by the way. We are here loving our neighbors. We are here offering prayers for one another. We are here studying the Word, growing in Christ, listening to testimonies that encourage us to go out and do the same for people who are being persistent. We are encouraged to be persistent and ready in season and out. We are to be ready with hope when others are in despair. Ready with kindness when the world seems cold. Ready with grace when others are judgmental. Ready with faith when the trend says that faith isn't cool. We protect ourselves in the shell of God's word. We endure, having the Holy Spirit that brings life into us, into this church, and into our larger community. So we don't need to be trendy, but let's be ready to love, to serve, and to rest in the knowledge that God is not done with us yet. So when you leave today, may you go out with the steady faith of the turtle that doesn't rush into something new, but rests secure in the armor of God's word. Keep showing up. Keep being persistent. Keep seeking ways to serve in this season. And then trust that God will reveal his work for us, even in the stillness, even now and into tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the persistence of nature around us, that we can look at so many different parts of nature and let it speak to us about our faith. Lord, we thank you that Paul was teaching Timothy about persistence and about not trying to follow what is a current thing, but instead to hold the ancient truth of the word in the palm of his hand and let it surround him and keep him and help him to do the work of being the evangelist. Lord, may we continue to seek ways to reach out, whatever age, whatever place, whenever we can. Lord, we just pray that you will inspire us to keep finding new ways and planting people in houses of faith all around the world until the whole world knows your name. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you would even bother to teach us, that you would even bother to send your son. Thank you that you didn't just send him, but you saved us through him. Lord, may we take that joy and that celebration with us and use that to help us serve others. Father God, thank you so much. We love you, and it's in love for you that we pray. Amen.